Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to episode number 93 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
Very dramatic opening.
Doesn't need to be.
I know. Okay, Wrinkled Not Dead is for folks who are reinventing themselves after the age of 50, but also for people who are younger who may look up to experiences that people over 50 have and may have use for them in their everyday life, and that's what we kind of do. Wrinkled Not Dead is also on a blog, wrinklednotdead.com, where you can find everything to do with Wrinkled Not Dead. We're on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean. Just go to wrinklednotdead.com. You'll find everything. I'm never saying all those lists again.
But I always ask people to share.
You do.
To let them know, if you enjoy what you hear, please tell everyone to listen to our show, because that's how we grow.
Yeah, I know. And growth is where it's at. Of course, this is a worldwide audience.
But yeah.
For the most part, we're centered here in Southern California, but we are dual citizens of Canada and the United States.
Of
Great Britain, in your case, huh?
Yeah, because my mom and dad were born there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that's great. So Jen and I have been married since, basically the day before Vesuvius erupted and destroyed Pompeii. It was all big news at the time, right?
So we've been married a long time. But we also have a company called Michael Bell Productions. We do TV and radio advertising.
Right.
We do corporate speaking. We do corporate training. So
we like to perform stuff.
We do.
We do. Okay. What we're going to talk about, basically, if you're listening for the first time, this is great. We welcome you. But for longtime listeners, which are so grateful, this is now 2 years into this project, we have little road marks along the way. We have a primary topic, but we also have some fun bits. And one of them is what we learned this week. Well, I'm telling you, I may be 66 years old, but I'm learning now to go back and forth between Macintosh, or Apple products, and Microsoft products, including all the applications that go with each. Okay, what have I learned? They're getting closer together. I mean, really, it's not such a big transition like it used to be in the past, where you'd go, oh, I'm a Mac guy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm a PC guy. It doesn't quite go that way. Although I would say in my experience now that my hand still is in favor of Mac, only because Macintosh or Apple
product,
it does that, but it seems to smooth out a lot of the corners that you have to apply yourself to if you're using Microsoft. It makes things more intuitive. I've heard that for years, but I actually believe it.
I started with Microsoft, and
you did.
I really enjoyed it.
You did, and you still are very good at it.
Yeah, but I find that I like Mac as well. And like I said, with the young people, the really young people, they go back and forth like, you know, they use the left hand, the right hand, you know. I mean,
I know, it's insane.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have to say that for people who are over 50 and their, you know, maybe their computer skills are not great, you don't have to do either one of them now.
Right.
Now you can get a tablet.
I want one.
I know you do badly. A tablet with a keyboard attached and you're good to go.
You are, because there's a commercial where there's this, it's an eye tablet, I guess.
It's an Apple tablet.
Apple tablet.
I don't know.
And in the commercial, the mother says, well, where's your computer? And the kid says, what's a computer? Because he's so far beyond a computer. He now just has a tablet.
I know.
My gosh.
You can't. I know. And those, you know, this is the benefit to those folks who are listening, because it just, you know, at some point you're going to have to pin yourself down in time and space and live with it for a while. So make the, ask your kids. Ask your grandkids.
They're the best.
Ask their friends. They'll point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you what to do.
You know what's weird?
What?
Wait. I just thought of something.
What?
Do you think this is the only time in time that you've had to ask your kids or your grandkids to educate you on technology?
Wow. No.
Really?
No. I think that, gosh, that's a phenomenal question. Why did I say no? Because at some point, we've seen in other families, for example, a child, you know, maybe an adult child, advise a parent on the next move to make in the business, in the family business, for example.
Bin.
Yeah, remember Bin and Min? Yeah.
I sure do.
Yeah, they have an automotive repair business for European cars. And the two of them together, Min being the genius car guy who could fix anything, including refrigerators or anything.
The, I mean, the older guy, gentleman.
The older gentleman was vastly improved by Bin's input into going into the computer era and doing all the social media stuff.
But we're doing talking about computers. I'm saying way back.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, and then I'm stymied.
I think that things are moving so quick, this is a whole new ball game.
I'll leave it at that, but I think that's words of wisdom right there. I don't know what the heck to think about
that. I don't know. It's interesting. Anyways,
yeah, okay, major
I digress.
Well, so did I first, and then you digressed upon my digression.
Sorry, guys.
And now, hello, is anybody still there?
Yeah.
We love you.
Something to think about.
Something to think about. Mm-hmm. So major topic today, how to deal with rude behavior. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a great quote from Maya Angelou.
Yeah.
And it goes like this. I've learned that people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel.
That's a wonderful.
It's all about how you treat people.
You know, I snagged all the quotes in today's show, and we generally have one about now, and then we have a couple at the end of the show. All of them are from Maya Angelou, who,
brilliantly,
for those of you who, well, most of you, of course, know, but worldwide audience again, definitely one of United States' most premier novelists, but also, but mostly a poet.
Yeah.
And she was, I think she was at Bill Clinton's, President Clinton's inauguration, and she was given the Medal of Freedom by President Obama.
And she was a great, Oprah admired her greatly and had her on her show many, many times.
Oh, yeah? Do you think they were friends? I wonder.
I do. Yeah, yeah I do.
Well, she's, I mean, a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Just in every way. She looked, her, you see photographs of her, and she's so serene. It's like a Mother Teresa image for an American.
We lost a good one when she left.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. Oh, no. The fun
facts. Fun facts.
Okay.
Fun facts are just something out of, you know.
Oh,
like...
man. So, Matt Huffman, who's a young friend of mine.
You'll hear our dog. Yeah, that's Ricky Ricardo. Our 4-pound Chihuahua.
Silence, you
we
punk.
We named him because Ricky Ricardo, because we had a Lucy.
Yes, we had a Lucy.
And we met Lucy.
Lucy Arnaz, Lucy
Ball. We met her when we were very good. Well, we were very close to our friend Gail Gordon, who was Mr. Mooney in the Lucy show.
And
we worked with him
opposite.
For a long, long time.
You know.
And so, anyways, long story short, again, once I digress, but that's Ricky Ricardo because we admired Lucy so much.
Well, this is a conversation, so it may digress every now and
again. It may, because we're sitting down for the first time in a long time.
I know. Normally, we're so.
We're
plugging away at the microphone, and we have the big microphone, and we're doing it. But right now, we're doing it in the dining room and having a great time.
Right.
Okay. So, speaking of a great time, how about some akvavit?
What is that?
It's kind of like raw booze from Norway.
Okay. So, this is your fun fact.
This is my fun fact.
All right, tell us about
it. Okay, all right. So, this has been going on like since the 15th century. They've been making akvavit in Norway. Mm-hmm. So... All right, so the stuff is so harsh and horrible. When they first started making it, they put it into, they thought it's unacceptable to us in Norway. We're going to send it off to Australia.
They send everything to Australia.
They'll drink
everyone
anything.
From Australia listening, though.
Oh, yes.
It's a beautiful country. It's a wonderful country. But my mom's 97 years old, or 96.
All right, so you guys... In Australia, our listeners in Australia, you got a bad deal here. First of all, they tried to ship this pretty bad booze to you. So it arrived in Australia. It really was still pretty bad, but it was in these big barrels, right? All right. So it was bad, but it wasn't that bad. So they said, it's just unacceptable. Ship it back. So it went back across the equator, all the way back up to Norway. So by the time it got back to Norway, they opened it up again. They drank it and said, holy cow, what has happened? This is fantastic. Yeah. So what was the secret? They put it in the barrels. They put it in the hold. It went across the equator, went all the way back down there, sloshing away, came all the way back up north to the northern hemisphere, sloshing away. And for some reason, it made all the difference in the world in the aromatics and the taste and the spiciness of it, everything else. To this day, they still do it.
So they can't recreate that somewhere in a lab
something? No, they tried. And you can imagine they tried, because imagine the expense of shipping barrels all the way down.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It makes no sense at all. But they couldn't recreate the way the stuff tasted in an artificial method. So tossing the barrel around with some machine. I'm sure the Norwegians, having developed Ekranis stressless chairs in so meticulous a way, would figure out a way. But they couldn't. So that's the story about Akravit.
So I guess it had to get that close to Australia to be good.
I know. God bless them.
Just like Rake. Rake is one of our favorite shows from Australia.
I know.
And we want it back. If you're out there listening, we want you back.
It was on Netflix and still is.
Oh, it's fantastic. Oh,
okay. All right. Okay. So.
So how to deal with rude people.
Yeah, well.
This is a tough one. We talked to our goddaughter, Lauren Everts, from The Skinny Confidential and him and her podcast. And she's a young lady, and she's very close to us, and she has a great following.
And a ginormous following.
Yeah, she's huge on the internet. And I asked her how she deals with rude people. And basically she said, like Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
And I ignore it. I treat rude behavior with kindness.
Now, we're not really talking about bullying, though, are we?
There's a fine line between all that kind of...
Yeah, I know, but rude is just, in my view anyway, compared to bullying, is just a superficial reaction. Rudeness, and I think that...
Rudeness is quick.
Yeah.
Bullying goes on for quite some time.
I know, and we talked about this earlier today, and we thought about, why are people rude? I don't think it's a normal reaction. And I think we basically came down to the thought that it's because of fear or...
I think it is.
Or insecurity,
yeah,
perhaps.
Fear, insecurity, and anybody I've ever met who was rude to me had something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think people want to be rude. There's only one person I've known in my entire life that I can't fathom out why he was rude. Basically a personal insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can treat people, I think, with kindness, no matter what, then you can sort of dispel the rudeness.
I think that's a case. I don't know. I talked to somebody about this because I knew it was going to be our topic. And I said, well, what do you think? And she said, well, you never know what's going on in somebody's mind or their life. And, an instant knee-jerk reaction to whatever you're putting out, and this was actually in a retail environment, I don't want that, or I'm just looking, or whatever, things that normally people wouldn't do, it may be centered on the realities of their current life and their position in the world and the cosmos at this moment. Agreed?
Well, I absolutely agree. And I asked Lauren, because she's a young person, if the internet and all that and social media have kept people from really talking.
Uh-huh.
And so when they actually have a face-to-face, are they nervous, insecure, and then become rude?
Yeah, because they're so unaccustomed to actual interaction with a person.
Yeah, they're used to emails, Messenger, they're used to, all of that, texting, with emojis to show how they feel. And I know we've talked about this before. And she said, I really think so. I think that it has to do with, for young people in particular, that they don't have enough verbal, one-on-one, social, connection.
Well, put that aside for a second. And remember an earlier episode where we talked about communication that was nonverbal,
correct.
So again, you're erasing that whole aspect because you're dealing with a keyboard and you're typing and you're using emojis and you're doing this and that. You're not looking somebody in the eye and you're not looking at their body language and you're not receiving all the stimulus, which is more important than the vocal interaction.
Or a type message.
Yeah, so the whole thing becomes now kind of nervous.
It does. Yeah.
You're standing in proximity to a human being.
Yeah.
And so you get scared.
And there's a lot of energy that goes on between people that is unspoken. And
yes.
It's something you can't put put your, a word to.
Well,
it's
I'm telling you, you
can
see
out there.
When you say, you know, I forget the percentile, but the amount of communication that is built just on body language is enormously.
Oh, it's gigantic, yeah.
Important, even compared to verbal communication.
And we're having less and less of that because
that's
when I
right.
asked Lauren, she said nobody ever picks up a phone and talks. They don't have time, so they want to text. They want to email, and that's it. They don't have time to actually chit-chat.
And in truth, that probably isn't enough either, just communication over the telephone.
Correct.
Without. So that's why I think now there's kind of been a recent resurgence in video conferencing. It mm-hmm. used to be, what are you going to do? But even on personal everyday stuff now, don't you find yourself going on to, well, you know, I want to do FaceTime or
mm-hmm.
you know, Snapchat video, any of the formats that you can actually see the other person on the other end of the
Very
line.
Very important.
And you do this with your mom.
Yeah, all the time. And it makes a big difference between even just a telephone call,
mm-hmm.
but one-on-one in person, which is what we're talking about too. When you come in contact with somebody in person,
mm-hmm. it's much richer anyway.
It's much mm-hmm. more personal too. But you mm-hmm. take it, you can get hurt. Like I feel hurt when I see somebody, when somebody is rude to me and I'm in the same room with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's less invasive over the telephone, I have to say.
Yeah.
But still, it's not pleasant. So we looked up how to deal with rude people.
For those of you who are regular listeners, you know, we go digging into research.
Well, we
stuff
try to.
Well, we try to. But on the other hand, we also try to drag our own personal experience into this stuff. And I think that it's just as valid because, hey, we've been there. We've done that. Okay?
Right.
Yeah, all right. So fine. What do you got?
Number one, don't lose your cool.
Oh.
Get hold of your anger first.
Okay.
So if someone is very, very rude to you, just let it go. Just take a deep breath and let it go. Because if you hit anger with anger, you just have a huge fire.
Right.
It's not going to get you anywhere.
So don't take it personally. It's not about you. It's about them, which
exactly.
was what my colleague said. You know, who knows what the heck is going on there? They're maybe getting divorced. Maybe somebody in their family is terribly ill. Maybe their personal pet is, you know, is on its last legs or anything.
You never
like
know.
That. And yeah, you don't.
And confront. Don't confront someone unless they're completely out of line. There are times when you need to step out and say that language isn't acceptable. I'm sorry. I'm not going to put up with this. I mean, you don't have to be beaten to death and accepted. It just depends upon how it's approached.
Remember doing corporate training?
Yeah.
Was it, don't be a doormat?
Yeah. Well, there's a time when profanity or whatever really is against what you're used to, you say no.
Here's another angle.
Yeah.
Take it as honest feedback. Now, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Better someone who is direct and blunt, but nice, but fake.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I see. I have used a selective response system.
What's that?
Acknowledge positive responses while ignoring rude comments.
What?
So basically, if someone's saying, oh, that sofa's a piece of junk or this or that,
yeah,
just say, isn't it a beautiful day out here? You know what? This sofa, though, you know, you may not, you know, you may think it's a piece of junk, but let me talk about all the good parts. So you just keep bringing them back to the other side.
Okay. So kind of redirecting their
exactly.
objection and
yeah.
anger
yeah.
or displeasure. And, you know, basically their insulting manner.
Their insulting manner and just showing the bright side of what there is out there.
Yeah. Well, everything is pretty subjective anyway. So, you know, if you have to take it that way, you do.
And another thing is to maintain your dignity. You know, you like I said, you don't have to let everyone sort of walk over you. But there is a way of dealing with rude people. And it is by being kind. Because I saw a thing. I was at the vet with Chloe today, and this was unbelievable. It's a life lesson.
You already posted it, I think. Didn't
no,
you?
I didn't.
No, you haven't. Okay, what is it?
Just be kind and brave. That's all you ever need to be in life. Kind and brave.
What do you think they mean by brave?
I think you face challenges head on. You don't shrink away from them. And dealing with rude people, you'd be brave. You
yeah.
face them head on. But you treat it with kindness.
Okay. But that's easier said than done.
Well, like you said, you have to understand why the person is being rude. You never know what has happened during their yeah. day. And I've never dealt with anyone who is rude and won, if you want to win,
mm-hmm.
by being rude back.
Or, it's not going to happen.
It's just not going to happen.
Hey, what do you think about geography in terms of rudeness? Like, you know, all the studies they say about mice and all that. If they're kind of crowded in there and they're jammed together in a big lot, they'll start to fight. And I wonder if there's, you know, geography pays some sort of a point in this. Like you live in New York City or Tokyo or somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
Although people in Japan are, you know, legendarily very polite.
Right, right.
So maybe it's a cultural thing, but at least in North America, it seems the more crowded the environment, the more rude or difficult people become with each other.
Well, maybe it's also like a force field.
Yeah.
It's a protection.
Yeah.
And yet, unfortunately, that protection, it shows weakness. Rudeness always, to me, shows weakness. And they say to think about the times when you were rude to others.
Yeah.
And why you were rude to others.
Right.
If you can reflect that quickly while someone's being rude to you. I never feel good when I'm rude to somebody. And it just...
You mean just kind of snap at them?
Doesn't sit right at all, yeah.
And you think, I know you so well that you think about that exchange for days.
I do, because I find rudeness a weakness, and I don't like to be weak.
Yeah, I know. But sometimes, you know, life takes over and overcomes you, and you lash out at something that may be undeserved, but, you know, you're somehow provoked. And
yeah, people are, I mean, you know, everyone gets tired, everyone gets stressed. Everyone has a weak point, but I guess in all of this, because we've had so many people say, you know, how do we deal with the rudeness of today's behavior? Mm-hmm. Basically it's to be kind
and the bravery part,
be brave.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is
difficult. If you're young and you're listening to this, it's true. The only two things you ever need to be in life is to be kind and be brave.
Yeah. You love that one, I can tell.
That will get you through everything, and that will get you through all the rudeness of today. And hopefully as we grow into the future and we have artificial intelligence, that we don't treat robots the same way we treat human beings. Or maybe it won't matter.
Maybe
know.
It won't matter.
Yeah.
It's a great, brave new future.
It sure is. So anyways, okay. Just take a deep breath and say, does it matter?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, just let it roll off. Jen's Health Minute. This is another landmark thing. You've always done a Health Minute.
I sure have.
And I like them. And you have an interesting one this week.
I do.
Actually a double barrel.
I actually had a mark on my hand that the dermatologist that I go to thought was squamous or squamous.
I think it's interchangeable.
Squamous?
She says squamous, but she's from Sweden.
Excellent. Well, and she thought it was skin cancer, basically. And so she burned it off as much as she could, and she sent it out. And she said, I'm 99.
She burned it off? Didn't freeze it off?
No, she burned it off. Lasered it off with a burn.
Okay.
And she said, I really think this is going to be skin cancer. 90% sure, whatever, and we'll have to do a Mohs later on.
Which is a procedure where they take the margins of the squamous or squamous area, and they say, okay, I think we got it all, and then they send it to the lab, and if they don't, then they have to do it again.
Exactly.
Take more tissue away.
And I was really worried, because you've dealt with a lot of skin cancer.
I have not.
Luckily, I have not. And I just thought, oh, gosh, what, you know, and then I started thinking, every little mark on my body was skin cancer, and I blew it up, and I got lost sleep. Then she called and said, it's nothing. It's just a growth that comes with old age.
And she said,
I can't believe it. She said, I really thought it was cancer, but it wasn't. So what I'm trying to tell you guys is if your skin doctor or any doctor thinks it's cancer, there's also an equal chance it's not. So don't panic.
Yeah, don't panic.
Please, don't panic.
But it is difficult because, you know, everybody thinks it's going to be melanoma. You know,
I know.
And which is, you know, extremely serious.
It is. But they can think it's melanoma, and it may not be.
I know.
So we need to put our mind to it probably is not.
Well, expanding on that, think of all the things that you think are going to be horrible and terrible that don't happen.
That never happen.
I mean, everybody's read, like 80% of the things that are going to be a disaster never end up that way.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, here's the phone, too.
And I had one last thing about my health minute, and that's a steroid that I was on for my glaucoma. And I want to tell you, if you ever have to be on a steroid, don't worry about it, because you're going to get weight gain. But that weight gain, the minute you stop that steroid, will start coming off. So those of you who have contacted me and said, I don't know what to do, I'm getting bigger and bigger. If you're on a steroid for whatever health reason, once you finish a steroid, things start coming off very, very quickly. So hang in there, do as your doctor says, and know that there is a light at the end.
So the phone call? Political again.
Exactly.
We get bombarded.
Do you guys are out there getting kinds of phone calls?
I don't care where you live. People are doing this in every country on earth.
I know.
You get
crazy.
Bombarded with stupid, spamish, god darn phone calls about, you know, vote for me because I'm for the rats. What?
I know. Now, okay, time off.
Oh, good. Thank
let's,
heaven.
Let's get away
I want
from all
to
have, this, oh, yeah, this heavy grief. Stuff and talk about time off. You're reading a good book.
Oh, man, am I ever. In fact, I wish I was doing that right now. I'm not kidding. Second only to doing the podcast, I love to read, and so do you. And you blast through books like nobody in God's creation. And you always ask me to find you a new title. It gives me tremendous anxiety because it's like every second or third day, I've got to find you another book. Get me another book like Gone Girl. Get me another book like
Gentleman
in Moscow. Uh-huh. I mean, get all these things that we've loved and told our audience about as well. The Chalk Man, C.J. Tudor. Unbelievable.
So the author
don't
is
you
C.J.
Start, don't,
Tudor.
That's right.
The title is The Chalk Man.
The Chalk Man. So don't give up anything because I'm about halfway through this thing, and every page gets more and more fascinating and terrific. It's kind of a, how do you describe it? It's a bit of a horror thing, but on the other hand, it's an intrigue thing. But the characters are so well drawn. And you know what? You see all these cut-rate things where you get a book for 99 cents and all that. Okay, sometimes the book that costs to download onto your reader or tablet or Kindle at $12.99 is actually worth it.
Yeah.
So do it, because most of these really, really impressive authors, you know, charge a bit of a pretty penny relative to get their sales. I mean, make some money.
Well, one of our favorite books ever is One Day by David Nichols.
Yeah.
Nicholas. Uh-huh. Nichols. Nichols, I guess.
Yep.
One Day, and it's just about life, and it was an amazing book. And The Chalk Man is similar to that, but it's from a young boy's and an older man's point of view.
Yeah,
as he grows into the man, really fabulous.
Really
fabulous.
Really interesting. You got to do it. Mm-hmm. I can. In my head, I'm reading the last line of that book.
Yeah, so check. And One Day was unbelievable.
From One Day. No. Oh, yeah, One Day. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh,
yeah. So check that out, too.
All right. So, and also, as as a correction to last week, for those of you who listened to last week's episode or episode number 92, we said about Margaret Atwood's book, the novel, and I said... It's now on Netflix
Elias Grace. Alias Grace.
And I thought it was Elias Grace, and it's Alias Grace. I felt like such a moron. But it was based in Toronto a couple of centuries ago.
Uh-huh.
And so we loved it. And then we're watching it, and we go, oh, my God, it's on the podcast. And I'm saying Alias Grace.
You know what? Every big show comes back and says we
need
to make
Grace.
A change.
Yeah, I know.
In what we said, even 60 minutes does that. So there we go.
Okay, but I was embarrassed. I really was.
Well, you shouldn't be.
Oh, God. Elias. It has to be Elias. No, it's Alias Grace. Okay, so it's still great to
check
look it
out.
Up. Yeah, indeed. Okay, remember when. Now, this one, I have no idea about
okay,
what.
This is for you, Nancy Shuth and Elaine Doddridge. I went out for lunch with some friends, and our older friend, dear friend, Elaine Doddridge, who is amazing, ordered a dessert for everyone that we shared, and it was called Bananas Foster.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of it. Never had it. And she said, oh, my gosh, this is an old dessert. And it, you know what? It tasted like something your mom would make. And it was from Brennan's restaurant in New Orleans. It was named after a loyal customer.
Brennan's, right. So we don't do an Elias.
Brennan's, yeah. B-R-E-N-N-A-N-S.
There you go.
However you want to say it. It was vanilla ice cream, dark brown sugar, banana liqueur, or rum. They had rum in this one.
Because who can find banana? Have you seen banana liqueur?
I don't know, but it was so good. And Nancy, She said, this should be a remember when, because a dessert tastes like something your mom would make, like after school or on a special night or for your birthday or whatever. And it was delicious. And it's called Bananas Foster. Check it out. Look it up. And it's so good.
Now, you know my mind. I had to look up and get the pronunciation of New Orleans. Because I've, through my whole life.
Is it New Orleans or New Orleans?
New Orleans.
Okay, there we go. Everybody out there, it's New Orleans.
It's officially.
Narlands.
But that exactly what happened. Exactly what it had in there. Because people nickname it all over the place. But the official pronunciation apparently is New Orleans.
Okay, is it the Caribbean or the Caribbean?
I don't know, but I've always said the Caribbean since. And I knew a guy from the Caribbean who said that.
So if anybody's listening from the Caribbean or the Caribbean, let us know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but there'll be a big fight about it, I'm sure.
Tomato, tomato, potato, potato.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Well, let's wind this up.
All right, okay. My quote, it's from Maya Angelou, because this is, you know, important for us to recognize her contribution to the world. You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them.
Mm.
I like it. I want to say
dealing with rude people.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them.
Mm, I like that. That's how you deal with rudeness.
It's true, yeah.
Well, here's another one.
You got two of them because you always like to have two of them.
I do. Yeah. We delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but rarely admit the changes it has gone through to achieve that beauty.
That's a beautiful thing.
Oh,
no, that's a poet.
It's a journey.
This is a poet.
It is such a journey. Not to sound ooga booga, but boy, isn't it?
Well, you are ooga booga a bit.
No, I'm not.
There you are. Okay, last one. I put this one in specifically for you because I knew you'd do a great job of reading it.
But this is Lauren's quote. This is one she
Oh, yeah,
liked.
That's right.
You can only become truly accomplished at something you love. You've got to love what you do because you know what? We're all in this together.